TalkZone.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, live from the multi-million dollar Interstellar Media Broadcast Communications Studios, it's Lawyers Who Needs Them, featuring Randall Simonetti and Jim Hartman. And now, here's Jim and Randall.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Lawyers Who Needs Them. I'm Randall Simonetti.
And I'm Jim Hartman.
Now, each week, my partner, Mr. Hartman, and I attempt to take the mystery and complexity out of our legal system.
And inject some common sense and perhaps a sense of humor back in.
As you can see by the boisterous crowd, they have a sense of humor. It's the only
Absolutely.
Ones we let in here, folks.
You got to have a sense of humor.
Yes,
listen,
you do.
Listen to us.
Yes, you do. You have to have more than a sense of humor. You have to be deaf to survive this show. Anyway. Later on in the program, we answer some of your very, very articulate and thoughtful questions. So if you'd like to have your question answered Ooh. On the air, are you all right?
I'm okay.
You just twinged.
I twinged.
You had an airplane accident, didn't you?
Yeah.
You hurt yourself transferring from one seat to another. That's
right.
Only you could do that.
Yeah.
What did you land on the handle?
On the outside arm.
Oh, that must have been good. What were you looking at the stewardess while you were transferring?
This stewardess, you wouldn't look like whether you were transferring or not. These stewardesses are not like they used to be years and years ago.
I know, they used to be very young.
Beauty was a requirement.
Yes.
And now it seems the other
right thing
is. Although some are very, very nice people.
Yeah.
They're a little older and they're
well, you know what the stewardesses, you know what the stewardesses think? Is they were hoping that beauty should be a qualification for getting a ticket. Because they got to look at 900 ugly people all day long.
Right.
Anyhow, if you'd like to send us a question about anything, including airline travel, or if your car is broken, just send it to info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. That's info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. And we will be very happy to answer your question on the very next show. So if you want to do that, please, info@lawyerswhoneedsthem.com. So now it's time for some frontline news. What's the hottest news in the nation, James?
Well, the hottest news in the nation doesn't change. It's this concerns the Arizona shooter.
Yep.
Jared Loughner.
He's been indicted, correct?
And he has been indicted. That's the news. Not only that, I think he's pleaded not guilty. And so that he has they'll await a trial after the indictment. But there's many things that have to be done. First of all, this initial indictment issued by a grand jury in Tucson was just the beginning of a federal legal action against the 22-year-old.
Now, was it for murder?
Well, he has one for murder concerning the deaths of Ms. Gifford's aide, Gabe Zimmerman,
okay,
who was 30 years old, and the United States district judge
yeah.
John Rold, who's 63. And those carry potential death penalty charges.
I was going to ask you if this comes with a death penalty.
Yeah, that can. And, of course, the death penalty is up to the jury to decide because the Supreme Court has already said that.
Okay.
Now, there are, there were 6 people killed, 13 wounded, in that attack, which took place in a sort of a citizen's opinion in front of a grocery store.
Right.
There are many more things that they still have to do. However,
what happens next?
Well, it's necessary in the federal system that you indict within 30 days of the arrest.
Okay.
So they indict. Now, they're going to get more things on them. So they will come up with another indictment, what we call a superseding indictment.
Superseding.
And that's an indictment that would be more inclusive, and it supersedes the earlier indictment.
Okay.
So that's probably what will take place. Of course, you plead to each indictment. You have to allow them to plead to each indictment.
Each one.
So, as a matter of fact, before the federal officials are going to seek the death penalty, I think, but they're going to consult with the families of the victims. And that's common practice concerning the imposition of the request for the death penalty. And a review by the Justice Department committee on such a thing is required. Now, I don't know why they got all of this. In the old days, you just said, I want the death penalty.
Well, look at what he did. I mean, he's killed people.
Well, I think, as far as I'm concerned, and I have a family or one of the victims, whether they're dead or they were injured by this guy, I would say give him the death penalty.
Right.
That might be a little reaction that I would have, naturally, because I have an emotional interest in this.
Of course.
But they certainly, with the committee of the Justice Department and all of that, they ought to get rid of. That's nonsense. I mean, come on.
Well, let me ask you. They
do everything in their power to avoid the death penalty.
Right.
If it's on the books, it's on the books.
Now, do they have a choice of what they use, or is that already stipulated? In other words, if they said death penalty by guillotine.
Oh, no, they don't. It's the death penalty is now by lethal injection.
That's the only kind.
That's
the only,
well, they may have it otherwise in different states, but most places
it's
have
legal injection.
Lethal injection. And then you get a lot of objection, ooh, you know, because it's supposed to be painless, and
right.
You know, but they complain that it may cause pain.
You mean the
well,
needle?
What do you think?
Yeah,
the needle.
Well, I have an answer for that.
It hurts.
Well, hit him with a hammer first.
Well, you can hit him, but one needle is supposed to knock you out, and the other one's supposed to kill you.
Right.
So they say, oh, there's some, you know, we've discussed them about
right.
The complaining it hurts. Now, what do they think about the people who were killed, maimed,
that didn't
and
hurt.
Injured? That didn't
I know.
Hurt.
I always love that.
Well, so
anyway.
What are you going to do?
Well, another news story that made the front page this week was another law partner being disbarred, this one disbarred, for overbilling. So
that's
what's
right.
new?
Well, nothing's new. Same
They're
situation.
They're not always disbarred on these
well,
things,
this, no, well, they are generally, suspended
are.
Or something. But
yeah.
This fellow, the New Jersey Supreme Court, has disbarred a former big law partner for creating phony time records, having sex with a client, and submitting vouchers for dinners with women he was dating. So this guy was a bad apple to begin with. His name is Kenneth Denti, D-E-N-T-I.
And a little al dente.
He was a little al dente. When he chewed his pasta, it was exactly al dente.
His pasta, not his pasta.
Well, he worked for two different firms, one called Fox Rothschild and the other one Margulis Edelstein. And according to the Disciplinary Review Board,
he dated a lot of people.
He did a lot of bad things. He made bogus timesheets.
That's bad.
To the extent of $350,000 in fees.
You wouldn't even
charge.
See that.
And he...
How about his dinners?
And dinners he charged and his other women that were
right.
met and so forth. So he denied a sexual relationship, but there are flirtatious emails that tell a different story, according to the opinion of the disciplinary board.
What is wrong with these people, with these emails
and
texts?
They're out of their minds.
Oh,
they're goofy.
God.
If you're going to get yourself in trouble and you're going to play around, make sure you do it. You talk to the people in a dark alley. Don't put it on emails. Don't write letters.
Has anybody ever heard of a wink? What happened to the wink?
Well, you know,
the wink, you know, you gotta, you're in love with the girl across the room. You wink at her. You don't send her a text of your genitals.
Well,
you don't tell her your life story on email.
Well, the other thing is, the review board said that there was a relationship with a divorce client, and it was unethical because she was attempting to reconcile with her husband.
Oh,
that's some way to reconcile.
That's a heck of a thing.
To be, you know, knocking around
wait a
with
second.
Your lawyer.
Wait a second now. Maybe he was working on her behalf because being with
he was working on what? Her behalf? I think he was working on a different part. Her behalf was not involved in this. There were different parts of the body involved. She was not worried about her behalf.
All right. My point here was that maybe after being with him for a few dates, she ran back to her husband.
Well, I don't know.
Maybe this is the way this guy solves matrimonial cases.
Well, anyway.
He will not be doing that for a while. All right, okay.
I would think for permanently.
All right. Well, in this portion of the Kids in Court part of the program,
right.
We have a very interesting case. And the question for you to answer, for all the listeners of the United States of America and beyond, can you be charged with a death tax if you've only lived for 1 hour?
Well, you know, if you live for an hour and for some reason, let's put it this way, if it was an estate tax so that you live for that hour, but during that 1 hour you inherited from a different estate and then you left an estate, strangely enough, you could the estate tax would be a
ton
of money.
Right.
This is not the case here.
What is the case?
In Seattle, Washington, in King County, in the state of Washington, they have the $50 tax if you die.
$50?
A dying tax.
$50.
That's $50. They charge it because what they did is they have decided that in every death, the medical examiner should determine the cause of death. And he has a $50 charge for that. I mean, you know, if you're hit by a 20-ton truck and you split into 5,000 pieces, he gets $50 to find out how you died.
Right, right.
I mean, that's not pretty odd. Well,
everybody that's killed in an accident or dies?
Dies.
People are dying every day. What is this guy, run around?
Here's
$50. $50.
Big office.
This guy's got like a receipt.
Well, I'll tell you what happens here. I'll tell you what's going on in this thing. The They had 13,000 cases.
I was going to say.
50 times 13,000 is the amount of dollars.
Yeah.
And they had 347 cases that had the wrong kind of cause of death.
He now, made a mistake?
Let me tell you. No, he didn't. The person who...
Oh, he
now,
corrected
really,
it.
But let me ask you something.
Yes.
If you're dead, and of course it's not murder. If you're dead...
Yes.
Do you really care how it happened? What's the difference? The guy's dead.
Right.
Or the gal. So anyway, this little girl... Olivia was, she was polycystic and it was, her lungs never developed and she was going to die. They knew she was going to die. In fact, the parents were grateful for the 1 hour they had to see the,
sure,
the little
sure.
child.
Very sad.
So there at the bottom of the bill they got from the coroner, it said King County death tax, $50. My advice is, if you're living in the state of Washington and you think you're going to die, run over to Oregon. Don't die in Washington. So this is the most, I would say, one of the most ridiculous revenue-grabbing tricks that states have. This is, you know,
it's
our tax. Well, the country's, we're going to with the dogs with all of this taxing. These are all revenue producers. This is not to insure anything. 347 out of 13,000 and you're worried about it? Come on.
I mean, this guy must have nothing else to do but run around and slap $50 bills on
That's
people.
That's what he does.
This guy's like a parking meter attendant.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Well, folks, we're going to take a short intermission, and when we come back, we're going to find out what's happening to gun owners in Arizona and Wisconsin. And you might be surprised at the answer. You're listening to Lawyers Who Needs Them. We'll be right back.